The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Let's Talk More Action podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and should not be construed as advice, nor do they necessarily reflect the views of Community Action Council's governing bodies, leadership, or staff, or our funding partners. Community Action Council is a private, nonprofit, and nonpartisan organization. We do not support or endorse any political candidates.
This the city's number one podcast. Love the topics, the guests, and all of the contrast. They ain't focused on the views and the traffic. What's the point of shining if no jewels for the masses? We gotta spread the news of our passion. Service is a verb, now that's community action. Yo, everybody, let's talk. Look, talking ain't enough, so everybody, let's walk. We all want freedom, the eagle and the stars, but the only way to reach it, meet the people where they are. Unity's the only way to fend these atrocities. You and me together can eliminate poverty. And this is just a vessel of expression to make sure we stay on the message of progression. Yes, everybody, let's talk. Bring your ideas and together we walk.
Protect our seeds from the poisonous root, and we gotta reach the source and the soul and the root.
Yes, everybody, let's talk. We need community action. Together we walk.
Together we work in to reduce violence. Speak through the airways. We refuse silence.
Let's talk.
You are listening to Let's Talk More Action. My name is Cameron Minter. I am your co-host, and our host, Sharon Price, is in the building. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Cam. How's it going?
It is going wonderful. Mm-hmm. I am so excited. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm ready to go.
Look, so am I. I am ready. Look, but getting ready for the weekend, Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a situation where you had a hard time forgiving somebody?
Mercy. Continually. And I know that it's not good for me to have that. And I'm a man of faith, so I'm praying about that. I'm praying that some of those situations will be resolved in His way. But it's a challenge dealing with unforgiveness. And the problem is because of us, you know, we are the only ones, you know, a lot of times people be mad and they don't even know that you're mad at them.
Look, I'm over here, man. I've been mad for all this long, long time. And you didn't even know I was mad.
Wasting energy. And you know, so that keeps you in bondage. And I don't want to be in no bondage. So I gotta let that go. Now, sometimes that causes me to step away. You know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I gotta move on, you know.
Well, but let me ask you this. Yeah. How quick are you to forgive somebody? Do you forgive people as quickly as you want other people to forgive you?
I try. It's a challenge.
He said, I try.
It is a challenge. It is truly a challenge because there are some things that are rooted in generational bondage and issues that are not resolved just by you saying, hey, I'm going to forgive you, because you still have to interact with them. You know, sometimes with my mom, I feel that same thing. And, you know, I haven't talked to mom in a while, and then I call mom, and then it's the same thing. And I'm like, this is why I don't call. I love you.
Now, we're going to do better. We're going to do better, Cam.
Yes, we're going to have to because, you know, time is short and time is not promised to anyone. And even though there's pain that's rooted in years, it still is important to sever that hurt, to get rid of that hurt, to move on with the relationship.
And that's the tough part.
That's the tough part. But we got some people in the house today. We got somebody
in
the house today who's going to help us with that.
Listen, we've got Angela Allen Johnson, and she has got a book right hot off the press. Hot off the press. And hopefully, once I read this, this is going to help me.
Okay.
It's going to help me both ways.
Oh, because you didn't testify yours.
No, I didn't testify, but what I will tell you is, sometimes I have a hard time forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll just put it to bed, just let it mm-hmm. go, but it's still festering in
still
there.
Still festering, yeah.
You know, and so whatever or whoever I am having a problem with, they've moved on and they don't even realize that I'm still stuck.
Absolutely.
Feeling these kind of ways. But Angela's book is going to get us back on track. The Healing Power of Forgiveness.
There
Welcome,
it is.
Angela.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
So what made you or inspired you to write this book?
Well, it wasn't a book that I wanted to write, because I knew that it was going to come at a severe sacrifice. I knew I was going to have to be transparent. I knew I was going to have to remember things that I didn't want to remember. Mm. And I knew it would awaken attack in my life currently.
Right.
So
right.
With those things being said, it wasn't my idea. But it is a topic we need to be having conversations about things just like this. Forgiveness is very important.
Because, and one of the things when Cam and I were talking, and when we were talking offline as well, is that really forgiveness is for you,
exactly.
Not necessarily for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Holding on to unforgiveness is almost like a poison. You know, it's like, I think I've heard it said, holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. Because it has so many chemical things in our bodies when we hold on to it, especially as we get older. So the stress and the weight and all of those things are very unhealthy for us. Not to mention, it's a spiritual principle that the Lord wants us to follow.
Say that.
Well, I know. He says to forgive. What is it? Forgive others as I
have forgiven you. I mean,
yeah.
That is the basis of when I'm dealing with unforgiveness. I've got to forgive, because even when I'm doing my best, I'm still not there. And so I'm like, okay, God, and He still loves me. He still, okay, all right. That's my God. That's mm-hmm. That's my example.
It's true. Forgiveness. When He asked you to forgive someone, I think we should be in the mindset of, how many times do I mess up in a day?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I love Him dearly, but I'm a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as I have on this earth suit, I'm going to struggle with doing what's right. And so He wants us to be the example in the earth. I mean, the Bible even goes as far as to say, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that I need,
I need a clean
is
slate.
To need that grace, you
daily.
Know, to need that mercy and it not be there for me,
right,
because I'm
right.
holding it away from someone else. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. We're not going to hit perfection. He counts it as righteousness if we follow the tenets. He didn't say perfectly. And that's why we're enjoying this wonderful week, a holy week, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate forgiveness. You know, when He was hanging on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. And they were gambling for His clothes at His feet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So when you started writing this book during COVID.
Yes.
And so that was a challenging time anyway.
Yes.
What kind of emotional, because I'm thinking that when you start taking stock of the times that you've forgiven people and situations in order to get the text ready for the book, what kind of process was that for you emotionally, mentally, spiritually?
Well, I had just retired. I retired in 2018. And when you walk away from a job after 20-some years, you know, there's a lot of baggage that goes with that. And my initial thought that I was just going to unpack some of that baggage and bring clarity to how we're treated, you know, on our jobs, our bosses being women of color, brown and black women. And I started off thinking, okay, this is going to be very cathartic for me. I'm just going to, you know, talk about how I survived and some of the principles I used to forgive in that environment. And as I started that journey, He kept going back further and further. And I kept saying, well, wait a minute. Now, wait, hold on. Now, we're talking about this right now. And He was like, but what about that? Mm-hmm. And what about that? And the further I went back, the further I had to go back. Because I thought I had taken care of a lot of unforgiveness, and what I had done was sweep it under the rug. And I was starting to feel kind of emotionally challenged. And I was like, where is this coming from? He said, you got some work to do. And when I tripped over that lump, you're going to trip over it more than once before you recognize, this is the issue. And when I tripped over it the last time, I said, okay, I'm going to have to just deal with this. And basically, I didn't go to other people to deal with it. I dealt with it within myself. And after I dealt with it within myself, I started writing about it. I started writing about the things that had me stuck because, we were all at home. We were all, some people was getting on each other's nerves. I'm a homebody. I'm an introvert with an extrovert's job. So I love to be home. I was having the time of my life. And he was like, okay, time to write the book. And so then as I began to unpack it and begin to see the value in it and begin to examine why I was holding on to this, what was my motive in holding on to this. And when I was able to let it go, I felt freer. I felt, it seemed like when you practice, because it's what it is, it's a practice. Yes. Because every day you get an opportunity to practice.
That's right.
Whether you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off, God won't even let me argue with people in my mind. Because if you argue with someone in your mind, when you see them, you've already rehearsed what you're going to say. So even if you don't want to say it, you vomit that out on, when I see her again, I'm going to tell her how I feel. Nobody wants to know how you feel. Nobody wants to know how you feel, I promise. And so you have to, that has to be a practice. And so once you get started, once you started releasing, I heard you talking about someone earlier. And the definition of forgiveness, and you guys are going to love this. The definition of real biblical forgiveness is to forgive someone for hurting you and then allowing them close enough to hurt you again, knowing that they will.
Mm. Well, that's,
Look, Sharon said, okay, well,
you can
put that on the shelf. That self-help is gone.
Yes, that's the biblical definition of forgiveness. Is to forgive someone and allow them to be close enough to hurt you again, knowing that they will. Now, that doesn't say that you have to keep dysfunctional people in your life.
Right.
That is not that. When you know you have to keep distance for your mental health, you do. And there's a book called Irregular People by a woman named Joyce Landorf. And she talked about there's some people in our lives, our children, our spouses, our parents, that we're just not going to, it's not a good fit. We're not going to get along with them. We're not going to agree with them all the way. And so, if it's just a regular person off the street, you can say, well, I won't see the grocery store lady again, right. For smashing my food, or I won't, see the guy who cut me off or anything like that. When it's family, you have to just know that you're doing the best that you can. Mm-hmm. You're putting your best foot forward. You're putting it out there that I'm going to honor you as my father, mother, daughter, son, you're my family, so I'm going to have to keep you close. But you just have to know that's how that person is cut. And when you realize how a person is cut, you just accept that and you don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. But the more history you have with the person, the more difficult it can be. The longer you've been with the person. Like recently my dad passed and my sisters and I are having to deal with his estate. And I've seen a part of them that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, if I don't eat it, I can't serve it.
right. Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, okay, you got this book out, you can't show off, But he's wanting us to just know that this is for your good. This is something that's going to help you. This is something that's going to, if we're going to be his ambassadors and people see us walking in unforgiveness, it's a hard sell. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think for me, because I'm thinking about a lot of things while you're talking, and I think that there's a difference in the way that I feel when, if it's a person in the grocery store, if you disrespect me in a grocery store, I may take a deep breath, sigh, be a little bit aggravated. I don't necessarily feel that I owe that person forgiveness. It doesn't hit the same way as it does when it's somebody that's close to you.
Yes.
That feels different and it takes me to a different level.
See, when
it doesn't feel the same.
See, the definition she gave, it reflects a parent and a child relationship. How many times has your child lied to you or hurt you or said something or did something to you, but you can't you can't throw them away, right?
Right, right, right.
You got to still forgive and move on. And that's how the Father is with us. You know, we mess up all the time.
And well, and knowing that it's going to happen again, because it's, and why does it all feel as though it's the people that are closest to you that can hurt you the most? And that's, I think it. That's because
you bring them into a place where they can be close. And that's the definition you gave.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to be vulnerable. The people closest to us are the people we're most vulnerable to.
Mm-mm. Because they all, the people that are closest to you also know where that space is that they should not enter or it's going to be a problem.
I know that's right. Angela, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for your knowledge. Thank you for your obedience in writing the book. And
so The Healing Power of Forgiveness, where can folks get your book, Angela?
I am on Amazon.com. I am on BarnesandNoble.com. You can hit me up at my website, www.theallenjohnsongroup.com. My email is aaljohn5@yahoo.com. And you can contact me also on Facebook and Instagram.
The Healing Power of Forgiveness, Angela Allen Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've given me a lot to think about over the weekend.
You are listening to Lex Talk, More Action.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why don't you join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.org. That's commaction.org.
Community Action Council has funding available for those struggling to pay their utilities through the LIHEAP Spring Subsidy Program until June 2nd or until the funds are depleted. You must have an appointment to receive LIHEAP benefits. For more information and to apply, visit us online at comaction.org. That's commaction.org. Children love Head Start, and you will too. Community Action Council's prep academies are hiring now. Head Start is an early childhood education program for children from birth to age 5. Help us give more children the Head Start advantage.
Teachers, what are you waiting for?
Join our team of dedicated education professionals. Apply online today at comaction.org. What are you waiting for? Welcome back to Lex Talk, More Action. Today we're talking with Danielle Sanders. She is the Director of Community and Resident Services for Lexington. Welcome, Danielle, to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you on the show.
Well, and you know, Cam, Danielle is one of our newest board members at Community Action Council. Woo-hoo! So that's, I know, that's an extra voo-voom.
Yes.
So, Danielle, tell us, what do you do? The Director of Community and Resident Services for Lexington. What does that mean?
Okay, so Community and Resident Services, for most people, they remember it as Adult and Tenant Services. Oh. But the name changed about 2 years ago. So it is a division of Lexington Fayette Urban County Government under the Department of Housing, Advocacy, and Community Development. And so our office, we do a number of financial programs for the residents of Fayette County. A lot of people know us for rent, mortgage, and utility assistance, but that really is just one component. We have about 10 programs. Some of the programs that we do, we provide water assistance. So we do the H2O program for the Kentucky American Water Company. We also provide assistance for LexServe. So people are getting these LexServe bills that they haven't been paying for a while. Right now, we offer...
Because we're like, you can't turn my toilet off.
Yes,
but they can.
Yes, they can. If you get that 10-day shut-off notice, please pay attention because your water will be shut off and you will be using that reserve 2-gallon water to brush your teeth. I don't know if anybody remembers those days, but every now and then, you got to break out that reserve water and be like, don't flush that toilet. And so if you get a 10-day notice, I can only speak about it because I might have to.
Right. Been there, done that.
So those 10-day shutoff notices are valuable if you see those in the mail, if they come. And if you don't have the funds, like I said, our office will pay 50% of that and then put you on a repayment plan for the other 50%. Other programs that we do, street tree removal. If there is a tree between the sidewalk and the street and the city comes and cites you for that, there may be assistance for you to get that removed for 100%. There's a housing repair program right now through code enforcement. And so if code enforcement comes and cites you for something, maybe siding or gutters or painting, and you need some housing repairs, there's some grant funds that pay 100% of that if you qualify. Solarize Lexington just began a few weeks ago. And so there's a
Tell us, what is that?
Solarize, get rid of that electric bill. That's what it is. And so it is a program where they are putting solar panels in roofs. And the city received grant money for that as well. And so some folks can qualify for 100% to get solar panels installed in their home. And so we are doing the screening process for that. Other programs we do, sidewalk replacement. If the city comes out and cites you for your sidewalk, if you qualify based on your finances, you can get your sidewalk repaired. Also, we have the sewer landfill and water quality fee. A lot of people don't realize that their LexServe bill really has three components to that. So you can get your LexServe bill assistance with that financially, but you can also get a discount based on your income or if you are 65 and over and make $25,000 or less a year, where you can get a 50% discount on each of those different different components of the bill. One other thing that we do replacement housing. So if code enforcement comes in and your home is condemned, this happens a lot of time with rentals. And if there is a condemnation, they will give you a piece of paper that says, hey, call Community and Resident Services because they can provide assistance. And so we help with a short hotel stay, generally 3 to 5 days. But then we also help with $1,000 to help you find replacement housing.
So you guys have a lot going
on.
That's
a lot.
There's a lot. It's hard for me to keep up. We also have a social work program. A lot of people don't know about our case management program, but
I don't. I'm one of those people.
Oh, me too.
No. Let me bring you into my world. Come.
Yes.
That's probably the most underutilized component of our program that folks don't know. So we actually have three social workers and a social work supervisor, and a lot of folks don't have anyone. Especially older folks. They just may not have family, and we consider them a vulnerable population. And so if there are folks out there who don't have assistance, kind of doing some of the basic needs, making sure that they have food, getting to doctor's appointments, having someone go with them to the doctor's appointments to understand what's taking place, that's what our social workers do. They do case management. They are in the homes more than they are in the office. And so they are assisting these folks in different ways. We also have a rep payee program. So if you receive Social Security income and maybe someone may be taking advantage of your income, you just can't manage your finances well, we actually receive that check, pay all of your bills, and then give you a weekly allowance based on what you have left to help you manage and be able to stay in your home. Yes.
Wow.
I'm noticing a pattern here because everything that you just mentioned is kind of reflective of some of the things that we do and how we're trying to, you know, make connections in the community and take care of those needs. It sounds like that's a passion, especially since you are on the board at Community Action Council. Is that a passion of yours? What's going on with that?
Yes, my passion is to help folks. Mm-hmm. I've been with the city for 2 years. Prior to that, I worked with Kentucky Drug Courts for 20 years. And so my passion really is to see people do better. When you know better, you'll do better. And just life is too short. And a lot of the things that we are bogged down by,
right,
we could do something about.
Right.
And so, you know, let's figure out ways to educate people. Let's figure out ways to help folks. And let's figure out a way to get them in a better place than they were before.
Absolutely.
Let us do better than what our parents and our grandparents
did. Come on.
You know, I'm here to, I want to break some cycles.
I know that's right.
And so one of the things that, you're doing right now is you've done in the past, and you're preparing to have these tenant right workshops again.
Yes. So
why is that important?
Well, what I noticed, so in my office too, we have two folks who take calls daily for landlord and tenant issues and concerns. And when I say daily, I mean daily. We get calls all the time from people wanting to know, is my landlord allowed to do this? Can the tenant do that? What, I mean, yesterday I was covering the phones and someone said, you know, she was a landlord and she said, I was wondering, what are my rights when my tenant dies? She had a tenant that passed away. And so I just noticed, like I said, we were getting the calls and we were getting.
Does the lease end at that point?
I'm going to be honest. I'm still trying to be educated. I couldn't answer her question. I had to give her to my other two folks who are experts because I wasn't positive. And I said, I don't want to steer you wrong because this is the first time I've had this question. So I'm going to give you to them. But my goal is I'm constantly trying to be educated. I'm going to a housing conference next week in Louisville because I'm still trying to find out exactly what all the rights are. So I honestly can't answer, and I don't want to answer wrong.
Right,
just in
right.
case somebody needs the answer. But what I
guess I never thought about that.
I know. Yeah. And, like, I mean, does the lease end? Do you have to wait for probate court? Are you allowed to just put things out? I mean, that's a real, like I said.
Right.
Last week, somebody else, we had a call, and the landlord, there had been a condemnation, and the landlord started putting somebody's things out on the street. And the tenant was wondering, you know, are they allowed to do that? And I was like, no, that I did know. That is not legal. Like, even with the condemnation, and even though a condemnation voids a lease, you know, you still have to go to eviction court as a landlord to be able to actually evict someone. But with the tenants' rights workshop, so we had our first one last year in May, and then we did another one in July or August. I can't remember. We did a Spanish-speaking one, and then we had a third one in November. But kind of the thought behind it was really, let's educate the folks before the problems. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, a lot of time we get calls and it's after the fact.
Right.
And so if we could educate people before they sign the lease, or if we could educate people before the landlord goes downtown to evict, maybe we can stop some of the problems. And again, people just need to know their rights. You know, some of the conditions folks will go into and even sign a lease for, and it's like, whoa, before you do that, let's make sure some things are in place. And do you know what your lease says, or did you just sign it because you needed a place to stay? So we're just,
well, and with the housing crisis in Lexington, I could see someone getting in a situation where a place to stay is better than no place to stay.
Yes. And unfortunately, that is where we are with a lot of folks. However, just think, if the public were educated and enough folks started saying, no, this isn't acceptable, what would these landlords start to do?
Right. Right. So.
Well, we need to get people on track here. So are you working with the Tenants' Bill of Rights? I know that there have been a lot of efforts, you know, because they haven't been quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have an update on that, or where that's going?
I'm not working with them directly. A few of those folks are on other committees with me and other boards, so I'm a little bit informed. But as far as direct work, they have not come to me directly and said, you know, what's your opinion on this, or can you help us with that?
What are some of the things that they're wanting in their Bill of Rights?
I know one thing that they've been very vocal about is discrimination regarding source of income. And so what I believe they're wanting is for landlords not to be able to discriminate if someone receives certain vouchers.
Right. So. That was a big problem during the pandemic when rent went out the roof, and then trying to find another place, even if you had some, you know, one to pay or subsidize that. Landlords were like, no, we're not doing that.
Right. Well, and someone called me Friday. I don't know the exact group, but a landlord group, and invited me to speak to their group in May. But really on this issue, she said, you know, I'd like for you to come and to talk to them about the benefits of receiving the voucher. And I said, okay, now I just want to make sure you understand. I'm not with Section 8. I'm not from the Housing Authority. And she said, no, we just want you to come, though, and just talk about the benefits of, you know, if you take a voucher, and then also, if someone cannot pay, what resources are out there so that landlords know, you know, just because someone has a crisis or a financial moment, that's not the end all. there are resources, there are ways to still be able to work with that tenant and get back on track.
And so what I think I hear you talking about is a working relationship between the tenant and the landlord working together.
Exactly.
Because life is going to happen.
Yes.
You know, you might be able to pay your rent on time every month for the last 5 years until something happens that interrupts that, you know. And does that tenant warrant necessarily an eviction because they're in a space for a moment in time?
Yes. It's no different than any other relationship. It's communication. Things happen on your job. But if you don't tell your employer, hey, you know, to be able to go into your boss's office and just have a moment and say, you know what, can I just tell you, I'm having a moment at home. I'm having a crisis. I know I've been off. If you could give me a little bit of grace, maybe just for a couple of days, for a week, look at my track record. That makes a big difference. And the same thing with landlords and tenants. Hey, you know, look at my track record. I've paid my rent on time, but this is what I have going on in my life. If you could just give me 2 weeks, I'm trying to get back on track. I'm willing to go out here in Uber or whatever I have to do to get back on track. Or I've talked to these agencies and I signed a release of information. You can talk to them to see what I'm trying to do. You know, a lot of it is communication. And it would save so many people, even the landlord, the filing fee of going downtown.
Right.
The attorney fee, the time you spend in court. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like I said, most folks want to do the right things and are trying to do the right things.
I think I've got one burning question.
Uh-oh.
That I know that my listening audience may want to know. And you may not be able to answer, so this may, you know, be okay. Putting you in the spot. But if my landlord is not repairing the dripping sink and I decide I'm not going to pay a percentage of the rent or I'm not going to pay the rent.
If I say nothing else today.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Let me say this
very clearly. I knew it was hot. I know it was a hot topic.
Like, I want to, like, whisper it, so I want to make sure I get everybody's attention.
That's it. Come on.
No matter what is going on in your household, you must pay the rent.
Boom.
Dang. If you go to court, that will not work as a defense. Wow. I don't care what is going on. Unfortunately, I understand from a tenant standpoint, rent must always be paid, but that's your defense when you can also go to court. Documentation is key. As a renter, document. Take pictures. Take videos. Make sure you back your things up with text messages, emails. Phone calls are great, but I'll say, just like I tell my staff, I may call and talk to you about something, but afterwards I may send you an email. That's not me trying to be nasty. It's me documenting just to make sure that all bases are covered. And so I would say the same thing for a renter. Now, there's a way to handle if something's not being repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we talk about this, but we don't necessarily, we advise, Legal Aid of the Bluegrass talks about this. But there is something where you can have something repaired and send your landlord a notice. You send I don't know all the technical terms, but it's basically you send in writing that you have this repair. They have 14 days to fix it, I believe. If it doesn't get fixed, then you repair it by a reputable company. It can't be Miss Sharon from around the corner who says,
you really have a problem.
Here's a receipt. and then you can show that, and that can be deducted from your rent so much. But it's not the entire rent. It's only a small portion of your rent. But like I said, don't just go doing that. Call our office, call Legal Aid of the Bluegrass, so you have the exact way of how to make that happen if you need to make a repair like that. But please pay your rent.
Have we learned anything today?
Please pay your rent.
Please pay your rent.
No matter what the circumstance. And I know there are some bad circumstances. However, when you don't pay your rent, you put the judge in a very hard position to be as a defense for you.
One more time. When's the workshop?
The workshop is on Wednesday, May 17th. It will be at the Central Public Library. There will be two sessions, 10 a.m. until noon, and then 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. There will be presentations from Legal Aid of the Bluegrass, Code Enforcement, Kentucky Fair Housing Council, and then that's the first hour. And then the second hour is a panel discussion, and we will have some of the Fayette District judges on the panel as well to answer questions.
Wow.
Sounds like something we need to be in attendance to.
Absolutely.
Come on. Come on. Louisville just copied us last week. Louisville held one. Northern Kentucky's getting ready to have one in a couple of months. So we're on to something hot here in Lexington. Find out your rights.
Yep. Information and knowledge is power. Get down there May 17th to learn more about the tenants' rights and the workshops.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
And you are a source of information that will probably be back soon.
Look, I was already trying to think through my calendar. Yeah, she's getting back over here. Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to Lex Talk, More Action.